Blog Talk Radio.
Sit back and these days, remember my ways. Oh, me like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? We're just sitting in space.
Everybody is doing well and in good spirit and good mind and good health. And Abba is really feeding us through this fast that we've been taking. Prayfully, everybody who has been participating in the fast, that Abba is seeing our sacrifice, that we have laid aside this flesh and seek his guidance and seek his understanding. And prayfully that at the end of all this, he will grant us our prayers. Let's open up with open prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To thou, Abba Yah, once again for giving us the breath of life. Once again for bringing us to the Shabbat door, Father. Shabbat door be opened in the truth. We thank you, Father, for all those who are walking in the Shabbat, going in the Shabbat, Father, taking hold of the Shabbat, participating in it, Father, allowing their Ruach, the Spirit, to lay down and trust in you, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all Israel, Father. We thank you for those who are standing in the gap on behalf of Israel, Father. We thank you that you found a few good men, that you found a few good women, Father, because in your word you said you didn't find one. But we thank you that you did find at least that one, Father. He was able to open up the seal, Father, in the book of Revelation, and open the door for all Israel and all humanity, Father. We thank you for Yahushua, for being the one to break the seal, Father, for being the one to open up the seal, for allowing us to have salvation, Father, for allowing us to get right, as we say. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm Brother Ariel. We here at the fifth installment. Oh, man, my bad. I got to get open the press. I mean, open the blessing. Excuse me, family. Excuse me. Bless are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Bless are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm your brother, Ariel. Welcome to Kol Elohim, Hebrew culture. We're at Kol Elohim, coming by the way of Hebrew culture, and we're in the fifth installment of Yahweh's Mighty Man. Yahweh's Mighty Man. We've been going through and we've been reading about what the men and women of Yahweh, what they have done. What they have done, how they have encouraged, how they have laid their lives down, how they just obeyed Yahweh in all aspects, obeyed when they was living in the world, living in a nation that, for the most part, did not obey Yahweh. For the most part, that had the law, statutes, and judgments, the ordinance, and everything, as the scriptures say, Israel had it all. You know, who the brother Shaul asked a question in Romans, I believe, 9:11. He asked the question, who is the Israelite? Pertaining to the adoption, pertaining to the covenant, pertaining to the promise, pertaining to the service. You know, that's everything. That's everything that a Most High or a parent can give a child. Israel had it all. We had it all as a nation. We had it all. He gave us everything and continue to give those who hold on and do what he asked them to do everything. You know, and there's no other people on the face of the planet can say that. No, none. Not one other person or other people on the face of the planet can say that the Most High gave them everything. I mean, everything. Sent down his son to die and lay down his life for them, to pave a way for them, and gave them an example on how to live. And even with the example, we still sometimes we go to the left and to the right, but his mercies is renewed every day for us, as the word says. His mercies is renewed every day. Why? Because we need his mercies renewed for us every day, because we are hard-headed, we're stiff-necked, we're selfish. We're selfish. As human beings, we're selfish. You know, prayfully, as we are in this pandemic, what they're calling it, that we're seeing ourselves. We're seeing that how, as human beings, we really need each other. We really need the touch of another human being. We really need society to walk in the ways of Yahweh. But we also see that without him, we nothing. Without Yahweh, we absolutely nothing. The world, and we actually seeing that what Brother Shlomo said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Everything is vain. You know, everything that we see and do is vain. Everything that we see and do in this world outside of the will of Yahweh is vain and amounts to nothing. It brings no life. It brings no fruit to it. You know, I don't care what you accumulate in this life. If you're not accumulating or getting closer to the Most High, it's vanity. It's vain. You know, and Abba was able to show me that last week, sitting here, and I was just looking at the tennis shoes and the stuff I have. I can't even wear none of that stuff now. And just thought, like, if we end up being like this for the rest of my life, everything I have in the closet is nothing. It's vain. It's for nothing. I can't wear all those tennis shoes more than once. I mean, at two pair of tennis shoes, I can't wear them at the same time. I only can wear one pair at one time. All the clothes and stuff I've accumulated, I can't do nothing with it. I'm wearing the same three pair of sweatpants all week, just coming home every day and showering and putting them in the pile and washing them. You know what we are instructed to do. So we won't keep, if we did get contaminated, we won't keep cross-contaminated. But I have nowhere to go. I have nothing to do. I go to a house each and every day. I get up and go to a client's house each and every day. You know, that's where we at now. We can't even go to the building no more. We have to be in confinement all day long. And as soon as we come in the door, we got to take a temperature. We got to take our temperature. We got to take the client's temperature. You know, we got to take it before we leave because we had a client that died from it. You know, we had a client last week that died from it, which I'm just finding out about yesterday that she died, her aunt died, her mother died. So it's very serious. It's very serious as what's been said lately. We don't know if man did it, but we do know that Yahweh allows it. As Brother Yaki El brought out this past week, Yahweh allows it. He allows it. We do know that the word talks about troublous times is coming. We know that. That's truth. That's real. That's real to a believer. That's real to an Israelite. That's no joke. It's not false. It's real. As much as deep down in our spirit, we don't want it to be, but we have to stay in the conscious mind and say, that is our reality, especially being a believer. But let's get into this word and have a good conversation today with one of the staff members at the house. You know, and that's one thing I still love. I still get to talk about Yahweh's word. And as people always say, I don't talk the word. You know, there's two things you said I don't talk about. I don't talk about politics, and I don't talk about the Bible, you know, because she was raised Muslim. Matter of fact, under the Nation of Islam, Muslim too. 70-year-old woman, and we just had a chance to talk, and she said something that was very important, very important. You know, she's like, I don't really talk to people, first look at them and see how they living. If I even listen, start listening to them. This is a 70-year-old woman. She was blessed for her 3 scores and 10. So, and I'm like, you're right. You can't talk to nobody who talking the word and not living the word. I said, yes, right. But she obviously talking to me, so she must see that I'm living the word. But she say, we all going the same way. We all going, you know, this age-old thing, what they always say is, we all going to trying to get to the same place. And she mentioned the office. She mentioned our main office, which is out Columbia. And she said that I may go the shortest route, and she may go the longest route. But as long as we all trying to get to the office and we get to the office, doesn't matter which way you go, our destination is the same. So I told her, I said, that was good wisdom. I said, but that was good wisdom. But I said, but here's the thing. We all are emerge employees. You may be a RC, and I am a counselor just at the day program, and you are a residential counselor. I'm an RC. We have day program directors. We have ADs, assistant directors. We have managers. We have all these people, hundreds of people who work at Emerge, right? But we all have to deal with Emerge guidelines. Emerge guidelines is for everybody. Not because you're a director that you don't have to listen to Emerge guidelines, or because you a van driver, you don't have to listen to Emerge guidelines. It's for the director, it's for the executive director, it's for everybody under the umbrella of Emerge has to listen to the guidelines. And we may apply the guidelines different ways. We may, not in the sense of interpreting the guidelines, but we may have an understanding in different parts. But if a person who's just coming in the door, if they say they need temperature taken at 7 o'clock, your understanding is to take it at 7 a.m. as soon as you get in the door. My understanding is I know that 7 o'clock means within the hour of 7 to 8 is the grace period. So I can take it before. As long as I take it before the grace period, I took it at 7 o'clock standard that we had with Emerge. That was the DDA guidelines that if you're giving out meds or you're taking temperature or anything like that, there's guidelines. You get an hour grace. Within that hour, you have to do it, not exactly at that time. But still, we're still all employees of Emerge, and we still have to do whatever Emerge said to do. We still have to go by Emerge rule book, which is the hospital, doctor, custodian worker, all have to go by UMMS guidelines. Same thing for the creator. We all may be human beings on the face of the planet, different creeds, different colors and everything, but he gave everybody the exact same guidelines, no different than somebody who has a company with 10,000 employees, 20,000 employees, they all have guidelines. Same thing. Yahweh gave us guidelines for every human being on the face of the planet. But, and she had to end up in the midst of it. But you know what? Some people just don't want to do things the way the creator said do it. And for me, I felt good because she started with the wisdom of using the office. So I was able to build off the wisdom of what she started with. You know, and they had another strange thing that happened today, but I'll get into that a little later because I want to see where it's going to go because somebody asked me, am I a New Testament believer on Facebook? Are you a New Testament believer? I just simply said yes. So I'm waiting to see if they're going to cut me or they want to ask some questions. So we'll wait and see which way that go. Let's go and get into this lesson that Allah has for us today while we're fasting, praying we get enough to eat to hold us over to that Shabbat, at least me anyway, because it looks like the Shabbat is coming in. So we're going to our opening scripture where we've been all week, all last 5 weeks, and that's Ephesians 6:10, the opening scripture. 2:13. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, carrying against the powers, the world's rulers of darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen. All to stand. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, family. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's one of the things that Abba wanted to be home again, because in these last days, troubled times are going to come. And we're going to have to see where the devil was trying to trip us up. We're going to have to see who he's using to distract us. Right now, Abba done took away a lot of the distractions, but we still got distractions. We still have distractions. And today we're going to do something a little different, a little different. Something came to me, and we're going to do it a little different today. But we're still going to get into the lesson of Yahweh's mighty name. But we're going to do it a little different because I was going to give a history lesson today. Give a history lesson. And which every time we go into the word of Yahweh, we're actually giving a history lesson. We're actually taking what was written thousands of years ago and applying it to our lives today. You know, and majority of times it was written about a people. And Yahweh was able to use these people's lives to teach us today valuable lessons. It's so many things that he was able to do with the word of Yahweh, with his word, with these people. He used these people's life experiences to teach us today life experiences. You know, he used that. So when we go in and we see in the beginning where Adam and Eve, they got deceived, what we can learn from that is we may get deceived. We may get bamboozled. We may get hoodwinked by Hasatan. But what is the lesson that Abba is bringing out for us? We may be walking in the way as our brother Job, and Abba had to take a very harsh life lesson. That his life lesson was, the man lost his daughters, he lost his sons, he lost his animals, he lost his wealth. He had boils from the head of the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I mean, that life experience right there was all to bring out that, Job, though you serve me on a slant. Though you serve me with a righteousness of yours. You're not serving me wholeheartedly with my righteousness. You're serving me, and while you're serving me, you're looking in the mirror. So that was a brother's life and the lesson that an experience that he had to go through, a world of a life experience that he had to go through. And we ourselves can take our own life experience and see where Abba is trying to show us the truth about ourselves first and foremost. First and foremost, he's trying to show us the truth about ourselves. These life experiences, and then these life experiences that we read in this history book, you know, and then there's some very deep secrets in there too. There's some very deep secrets about how this world was made, about how the clouds have storehouses, about how the hell has storehouses, and how the sun and the moon have courses. So there's some very deep, some very, very deep, much more than just a history book. It's much more than just our history being read to us. It's secrets being shared. Then, you know, you only get to a certain point when those secrets get shared. You got to really be on the road to denying yourself before Yahweh can say, let me bring you to the side and let me show you these secrets. Although some of us, we may hear the rabbi teach, we may hear the Moray teach, and we may not get it because it may not be ready time for you to get those secrets. It may not be time, and that's reality, that's truth. But it may be something that Abba still needs you to learn. How many times we done read the word of Yahweh and read it and read it and read it and never saw something, and then somebody read it or you go back and read it and boom, but you done read that same chapter many times. A spiritual block was there. And they always said, no, not yet. Not yet. But don't be upset because you don't understand it. Don't be beat yourself down because you don't understand it. Don't be upset because you may not be getting revelations and this, that, and the other. Be like our forefather, Dawid. As long as I can open the door for people, as long as I can open the door for people in Yahweh's house, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. I'm good with being a doorman. And this is the king. This is one of our most mightiest kings in our nation. And for those who are new to the station and or may listen later, you may hear me a lot talk about my ancestors, because I truly wholeheartedly believe that they're my ancestors. So when I talk as if I know them, as if I feel their spirit, I understand, because I know, I feel them. They're my ancestors, and that's only through the Spirit of Yahweh. It ain't nothing that I did. It ain't no education that I have, because we all know my education was cut short by something dumb that I did. Didn't finish all the way through, because I lived a different life. I lived a life where as though I wanted to be a pharmacist, say it like that, at a very young age. But Abba said, no, that's not where you're going. Your life going to stop. I'm going to take those life experiences. I'm going to take whatever you learned, and I'm going to be able to use it for my good now. So I'm going to say hallelujah to that. So today, after I finish reading, I give out the chapters, book chapters and verses. But before that, we're just going to read history, family. And we're going to learn some characteristics about some mighty men, of Yahweh. We're going to learn the characteristics of them. And I can't wait till next week. Oh, I got something. Ooh. I wish I could just stop and do next week. Oh, I'm excited about next week, because you can't talk about no mighty man without talking about this man. It's just like we talked about the Akokis, the sisters, where you can't talk about no sister without talking about Kawa, Eve. And you can't talk about no mighty man without talking about this man right here. You can't talk about no mighty man without first talking about this mighty man. I can't wait the next week. Abba gave me that soon. I finished this one a couple of days ago. I was sitting there still getting, and he was giving me that one for next week. I said, all right, hallelujah. Woo. I know the brothers and those who, when they get no revelations, and it's just a joy when Abba shows you things. So let's read in this history of a people. And I see these life experiences of a people. And forgive me if I mess up and slip up and say where I'm at. But y'all, some of y'all who know and know the word, y'all would know where I'm at. You know, and studying that word, you'll know. But at the end, I'll give. But I got to read this history right now of a people. I'm in the history book right now, in fact. Thus Yahweh, Adonai Yahweh, showed me, and behold, he formed locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's harvest. When they finished eating the grass of the land, then I said, Master Yahweh, forgive, I beg you. How could Jacob stand? For he is small. Yahweh relented concerning this. It shall not be, says Yahweh. Thus Adonai Yahweh showed me, and behold, Adonai Yahweh called for judgment by fire, and it dried up the great deep, and would have devoured the land. Then I said, Adonai, Yahweh, stop, I beg you. How could Jacob stand? For he is small. Yahweh relented concerning this. This also shall not be, Adonai Yahweh, Master Yahweh. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall, made a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And Yahweh said to me, Amos, or Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then Yahweh said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the middle of my people, Yisrael, and I will not again pass by them anymore. Read that history again real quick. Yahweh said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then Yahweh said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the middle of my people, Yisrael, and I will not again pass by them. Those who don't know what a plumb line is just a line with a weight on the bottom, and it's used to measure things, measure the straightness of it. Yahweh said he's going to measure the straightness of Israel in the middle of my people, and those who are upright. Those who are upright. The high places of Yitzchak, Isaac, will be docile. The sanctuaries will be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the middle of the house of Yisrael. The land is not able to bear all his words. For Amos said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be laid away captive out of his land. And Azmiah also said to Amos, you seer, go, flee into the land of Yehuda, and there eat bread and prophesy there. We're coming upon the time, again, history. But they always say history repeats itself. No, I mean it does repeat itself. It's always going to use the same story over and over. There's many different ways to get Israel, first and foremost, attention. 13. But don't prophesy again anymore at Bethel. But it is the king's sanctuary, and it is royal. Is a royal house. Then Amos answered as Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a farmer of sycamore seed. And Yahweh took me from following the flock, and Yahweh said to me, go prophesy to my people. Yisrael. I mean, people can raise their hand and feel the exact same way of Amos. This is one of Yahweh's mighty men. Brother said, I wasn't no son of a prophet. I wasn't no prophet. I was in the field minding my business, tending to my herd, and Yahweh called me to say, go prophesy. Yahweh made me a prophet. Wasn't my thought to be a prophet, the brother saying. Wasn't even on my mind. I was all right the way I was living. Yahweh called me. And when Yahweh called you, you got to obey. You got to obey. We know the one who tried to escape Yahweh's calling. He tried to escape it, but Yahweh, as the brother brought out this past week, Yahweh know how to get at your attention. He know how to change your mind. He know how to make you see his way is always a better way. But I like the brother's answer. Yahweh called me. This is not what I chose for my life when I was younger. This was not. And I'm answering and I'm talking for everybody who's been called and answered the call. Very few brothers in that Yahweh, I'm going to be personal now. When they was young, coming up, thinking that Yahweh was going to call them, thinking that they had to do a job for the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, I have not heard not one story out of any Moray to say that, yeah, you know, when I was a child, you know, I was young. They used to call me, you know, I was a prophet. I was gifted when I was young. No, I don't remember hearing none of that. I heard all types of other aspirations and things that they wanted to be. None of them wanted to be called of Yahweh. None of them said that was on their agenda when they was coming up. But they answered the call. See, oh, Yahweh has mighty men. They answered the call. I mean, and not just those brothers, even the occultists. Because y'all going to have to stand up too. Y'all going to have to be lights too. Y'all are called to be lights. Y'all are called to be different too. Y'all have a task too. It may not be the same as the Moray and even the other brothers. Y'all have tasks too. Each and every Israelite has a task to be a light, to be different in this world, to answer the call, to be one of Yahweh's mighty in this earth. Now, it's not bad. 14, let's go back to this history. Then Amos answered Azmaiah, I was no prophet, neither was a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a farmer of sycamore figs. And Yahweh took me from following the flock, and Yahweh said to me, go prophesy against Israel. Now, therefore, listen to Yahweh's word. You say, don't prophesy against Israel, and don't preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, Yahweh says, your wife will be a prostitute in the city, and your son shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided by line, and you yourself shall die in a land that is unclean, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his land. Amen. See that when Yahweh called you, he put that spirit on you. It's something. Brother turned around. This was a Kohanim. This was supposed to be one of Yahweh's Kohanim, one of Yahweh's priests. This wasn't my possession. This is not what I claim. My claim of fame. When Yahweh called me, he told me to prophesy against you. Man told him that your wife will be a prostitute. Man, I tell y'all, to see, allow the Ruach to put you there. Allow, when you hear these stories, allow the Ruach to put you there. Again, these life experiences that we can take and we can bring them up today. We can learn from them. We can use them. That's why I would give them to them. That's why he said, compile my word. Take these people's lives, these experiences, and put it in the book. Because I got more coming. So they can have these life experiences and they know how to use the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Got another place of history because, you know, we're talking about Yahweh's mighty man. Another place of history we're going to go in. And somebody, I know the Bible students knew where we was. They probably didn't wrote that down already. Hallelujah. But hopefully I don't open my mouth and say where I'm at. Y'all know where I'm at in this history book. Get me? Now let's listen to another prophet experience. Let's see what this prophet experience and what can we learn from this prophet experience. You know, matter of fact, it's two prophets. You know, but one particular prophet we can learn from, and one of them that Yahweh used his life so we can learn. You know, let's see how this prophet was. Was he obedient? Was he like Amos? This mighty man. Now, an old prophet lived in Bethel, and it's funny, it's not because again I don't sit down and I don't look for words that may be in this chapter and in that chapter. But again, we hear a familiar term, Bethel, the house of Yah. I didn't when I went here, when the Ruach was taken here, I didn't even know old prophet lived in Bethel. And one of his sons came and told him all the work that the man of Yah have done that day in Bethel. And they also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Their father said to them, which way did he go? Now, his sons had seen which way the man of Yah went, who came from Yehuda, Judah. He said to his son, saddle my donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. He went after the man of Yah and found him sitting on an oak. He said to him, are you the man of Yah who came from Yehuda, who said? He said, I am. He said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. I will not eat bread or drink water with you in this place. He said, let's read the history again. He said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. I will not eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by Yahweh's word, you shall eat no bread or drink water there, and don't turn again to go by the way that thou came. It was said that Yahweh's word said to him. He said to him, I also am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by Yahweh's word, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. He lied to the prophet. He lied. Again, why did Yahweh allow this other prophet to lie to this prophet? Because if you remember, Yahweh gave this prophet a word. He gave him his word. We have another brother in our history who said, I don't care if an angel come tell you. And it's this brother, Shaul. He said, I don't care if an angel come tell you. And we know and understand now why Brother Shaul even said that, because of this story right here. Let it be a curse. You know, he talking about the good news, and he was talking about the good news, but he said, I don't care if some angel come tell you something different. You believe in what Yahweh said. You know that Yahweh gave you that word. That's why brothers, and then he cursed them. He didn't curse them once, he cursed them twice. Let them be a curse. Then he said, let them be a double curse. Me, one of the apostles, one of the prophets, don't matter who come and tell you. If Yahweh gave you a word, you don't go against it. He learned from the history book right here how you should not go against Yahweh's word. Let's go back into the history book and finish reading. He said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by Yahweh's word, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. So he went back with him, ate bread in the house, and drank water. As they sat at the table, Yahweh's word came to the prophet who brought him back. Now again, family, let's go there. Let's be sitting at the table. Let's see the whole scene. Let's use our Ruach. Let's use the spirit that Abba gave us. We sitting at the table. We know and understand that the one prophet said, that Yahweh said, don't go and eat with nowhere. Don't eat bread there. Don't drink nothing. Don't do nothing. Now the other prophet came to him and said, I'm a prophet too. I got credentials too. In other words, I hear Yahweh too. Yahweh said to me by one of his angel, come sit with me. But the brother said that Yahweh said, don't do that. Don't eat nowhere. Don't go sit down nowhere. Don't go. Yahweh said to him, go speak what I told you to speak and come right back out of there. Don't sit. Don't talk. Don't do none of that. My word to you, Abba said. Yahweh said to the prophet. So let's peep this whole thing. Let's see it. I see the brother sitting there at the table. And this brother, he just forgot about the word of Yahweh. Now he's on the word of this other prophet. And they sitting at the table. Now this brother, something about to come over this brother that's sitting at the table. As they sat at the table, Yahweh's word came to the prophet who brought him back. And he cried out to the man of Yah. So the brother's voice got loud. He cried out to the man of Yah who came from Yehuda, saying, Yahweh says, peep it, because you got to see this brother's face right now. This brother's face didn't turn blue. Yahweh says, because you have disobedient to Yahweh's mouth, and have not kept the commandment which Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you, but came back and have eaten bread and drink water. And to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body will not come to the tomb of your father. Can you imagine that? Brother, you're sitting there in disbelief. Oh, Lord, brother, oh, Lord, you told me that Yahweh said. The brother got the crying voice. I see the whole thing. I know. You told me, an angel told you to come sit with you. But Yahweh said to you, don't go. Can you imagine that? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what he said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Pete, the whole thing, brother sitting there, got this wide eye, the crying voice, like, I'm out, I'm gone. No. And he cried out to the man of Yah, who came from Yehuda, saying, Yahweh says, because you have disobedient to Yahweh's word. You have been disobedient to Yahweh's mouth and have not kept the commandment which Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you, but came back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body will not come to the tomb of your father. And he had eaten, after he had eaten bread and after he had drank, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. When he had gone, a lion met him by the way and killed him. His body was thrown on the path, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by it. Let's read that again. When he had gone, a lion met him by the way and killed him. His body was thrown on the path, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the body. What do we see in just that scene right there? I mean, we see the whole thing. A lion and a donkey standing right there by the body. See what I was telling us in this life experience. You will not make me a lion donkey. What the word donkey stands for. You will not make me a lion donkey. It's better than sacrifice. Why a lion and a donkey standing there? Why a lion and a donkey standing at this brother's body because he was disobedient. He wasn't like Brother Amos. Brother Amos did what Abba told him to do. He stood in the gap. He wouldn't prophesy Yahweh's word. And this brother, he prophesied Yahweh's word, but he still was disobedient in the end. So we can't be halfway doing the job that Yahweh gave us. We got to do this wholeheartedly. So ain't no halfway job where I could put my hand on the plow and then my hand off the plow. No, Yahweh said, don't put your hand toward it at all. I don't want it. I don't want no lukewarm person. I want somebody who's all in or all out. Either one, you make the choice. Either you all in or you all out. It's your choice. I ain't mad. But I can't have you half in and half out. I don't know. I don't want that. Y'all always say I should see you out. Make the choice to be all in. Make the choice to lay your life down and die for Yahweh. Make that choice. As many of our brothers have made that choice. Behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown at the path and the lion standing by the body, and they came and told it to the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, it is the man of Yah who was disobedient to Yahweh's mouth. Therefore Yahweh have delivered him to the lion, which have mauled him and slain him according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke to him. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. We got a few more history to read over, and let me get to this. I got to talk at the same time because this is another part of our history right here, family. And we're going to read about another brother and how he had life experiences and what was taken away from him, and he loved Yahweh. He not only loved Yahweh first and foremost, of Yahweh, he loved Yahweh Torah. If you love Yahweh, if you love his Torah, you can't but love his people. You can't but love those who he loves. And that's what this brother showed in that. Even in this history lesson, that he loved them so much, he took them out of here. He had to kill a brother. Let's read some of this history here, fam. In those days rose up Mattathiah, the son of John, the son of Simon, a priest of sons of your Jurab from Jerusalem, and he lived in Modin. And he had five sons, John, who was surnamed Gadia, Simon, who was called Thaddeus, Judah, who was called Maccabee, Eleazar, who was called Avon, Jonathan, who was called Alphaeus. And he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Yehuda and in Jerusalem. And he said, woe is me, wherefore was I born to see the destruction of my people and the destruction of the holy city and to dwell there when it was given into the hand of the enemy, the sanctuary into the hand of aliens. Her temple is become as a man that was glorious. Her vessels of glory are carried away into captivity. Her infants are slain in her streets, her young men with the sword of the enemy. What nation has not inherited her palaces and gotten possession of her spoils? And we can say that still to this day. What nation? What quote-unquote religion, what quote-unquote faith have not taken from Yahweh's word? Not man, one of them, every last one of them have taken from Yahweh's word. Our inheritance, they have taken from it. Even more than that, when you look at an Israelite today, when you look at what a quote-unquote God's people, you don't see God's people. the authority of the quote-unquote Old Testament or the Tanakh does not say Yahweh's people. It is these the Jews. The authority of the quote-unquote New Testament is not Yahweh's people. It is Christianity, Judaism, and Christianity. What nation have not taken upon her inheritance? What faith have not taken from it? And I'm saying each and every last one of them out there, if you are that has a mighty one and have given law, statutes, and judgment, have given ordinance, you have taken from the Torah. You have taken and borrowed testimony, as Yahweh says. What nation has not inherited her prowess and gotten possession of her spoils? Her adorning is all taken away. Instead of free woman, she is become a bond woman. Our holy things and our beauty and our glory are laid waste, and the Gentiles have profaned it. Huh? They profaned our things. Huh? They profaned it. The beauty, the holy things, the glory. The Gentiles are profaning these things. Those imposters. Wherefore should we live any longer? And Mattathiah and his sons tore their clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned exceedingly. And the king's officers that were enforcing the apostasy came into the city of Modin to sacrifice, and many of Israel came to them, and Mattathiah and his sons were gathered together. And the king's officer answered and spoke to Mattathiah, saying, "You are a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthened with sons and kindred. Now therefore come, you, and do the commandment of the king, as all the nations have done, and the men of Yehuda and those who remain in Jerusalem. And you and your house shall be in the number of the king's friends. And you and your sons shall be honored with silver and gold and many gifts." Now let's translate that till today. What did Yahushua say? If you're a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of Yah. Love not the world, but hate the things that that's in it. And not saying that somebody may have not understanding to live in the world. But he said, don't love it. We have to go to work in these jobs that we know that does not serve Yahweh. But in these jobs, we can be light. Matter of fact, we're going to see that in the future. Where brother had a government job and he was a light. A couple brothers had government jobs and was light. Couple brothers, because you hear people speaking against having a government job, working for the man. Be quiet. You don't know your word. Word talks about brothers having government jobs. Government jobs is working for the king. That's a government job. That's what we call it today. You're working for the government, you're working for the king. Period. Sometimes you with Israel and just be quiet, sit back and learn. And Mattathiah answered and said with a loud voice, "If all the nations that are in the house of the king's dominion listen to him, to fall away one from the worship of his father, and have made choice to follow his commandment, yet I and my son and my kindred will walk in the covenant of our father." Amen. "Heaven forbid that we should forsake the Torah and the ordinances. We will not listen to these words to go aside from our worship on the right hand or on the left." And when he had left off speaking these words, there came a Yahudi in the sight of all to sacrifice on the altar, which was at Moab, according to the king's commandment. Hey, again, we had to see that whole thing. We didn't read this before. Maybe somebody had. But see the whole thing. City has been seized. They in captivity. Some officers came. The soldiers came. The king set up sacrifice altars where those the Israelites had to make sacrifices. And our king's officer wanted the priest, because he's a leader in the city. If he can get the priest to bow down and do it, then everybody else will follow. So Peter's seeing everybody standing around, and they having this conversation. And as they having this conversation, here come this little dude. He just walking on out there. Another brother going to walk on out. So while they having the conversation, after the brother Matthias standing and say, hey, I don't care if everybody else in the world doing it. I'm going against Yahweh's word, and here come dude just strutting on out there, strutting, going over there to make a sacrifice. Here's the whole thing. And Matthias, see, listen to this. Listen to the zeal, the love for Yah, the love for his people, the love for the Torah. And Matthias saw it, and his zeal was kindled, and his reins trembled, and he showed forth his wrath according to judgment, and ran and killed him upon the altar. Let's see something, though. Because what is the world always saying? You can't judge me. You can't. You got other Israelites saying, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. But Yahweh said, you can judge with a righteous judgment. You can judge. Set up judges in Israel. But then, Israel only looking at their little flocks that they're sitting in. Israel is a nation. It is not just the congregation that you are sitting in. It is a nation. These laws, these statutes, these judgments, these ordinances is for everybody in the nation of Israel, not just for your congregation. For everybody. A righteous judgment. No, I'm not saying go kill somebody. That's not what we're saying. But you slay them with that word. You slay them with that word. Especially if you standing there and they trying to upshow Yahweh. Because they ain't upshowing you. They trying to upshow Yahweh. And Matthias saw it, and his zeal was kindled, and his reins trembled, and he showed forth his wrath according to judgment, and ran and killed him. King's officer who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time and pulled down the altar. He told them, we tell Israel. We tell one of our forefathers, one of our ancestors. What do you tell them? See? We know. We talking about this history book, though. He told them to root up, to tear down. Huh? He told one of our ancestors that. To root up, to tear down. And that's Jeremiah 10:1-7. And the king's officer, who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time and pulled down the altar. And he was zealous for the Torah, even as Phinehas did to Zimri, the son of Zahu. Let's read some more, because this was a brother who stood in the gap. This was a brother who was one of Yahweh's mighty men. And there's so many, but I'm only going by how Yahweh led me. It's so many, because there's certain thoughts that Yahweh wants to give us, certain thoughts, certain encouragements that he wants to give us. Strength. He wants to strengthen that rock that is upon us. That's what he wants to give us. He want to know, let us know that if you stand in my stead, nothing can come against you. And if it do, it's my will. It's my will if something do come against me. Matter of fact, we're going to read about some government workers who said that. Back in history, who were working for the man, who was working for this other government. They said that. So let's move on to another part of history. And let's see how this brother handled it. Oh, man, I meant the wrong. Man, come on. Hold on for me, family. I want no gaps. Here we go. Israel stayed in Shemitah, and the people began to play the prostitute with the daughters of Moab, for they called the people to the sacrifice of their God. The people ate and bowed down to their gods, and Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and Yahweh's anger burned against Israel. Yahweh said to Moses, take all the teeth and hang them up to Yahweh before the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. Moses said to the judges of Israel, everyone kill his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought to his brother at Midian, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel while they were weeping at the door of the tent of meetings. And I just want to stop there, friend, because I want us to see this scene again. I want us to see this scene. Israel, they're sacrificing our God. Yahweh mad at Israel. Yahweh told Moses, hang them. Hang them. Hang them. Hang. Hang, and he's talking about the chiefs of the people. Hang them. So they were the ones who were leading people into worshiping another deity, another God. So, yeah, Moses talked to the elders. Hey, look, your brothers who are worshiping, hang them. Hang them. So everybody around the tent of meetings, everybody around the tabernacle, and nothing but bodies being hanged. And you got this one brother, he muscles out of town. He didn't hear what was going on. He out of town, so he come back through, he walking, he think he got a dime piece under his arm. He coming in to show off this woman. Because it said to show his brothers, right? So he got a dime piece in his mind. Look at this dime right here, boy. Look at me. He just walking through. He ain't even noticing the bodies. He's so into this woman, he don't notice the bodies. He don't notice everybody crying. He's just walking. He's thinking he about to do the deal. I got me a dime piece right here. So let's read that again. Behold, one of the of Israel came and brought to his brother a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, while they were weeping at the door of the tent of meeting. Why? Because their brothers and sisters just got home. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the priest, saw it, he rose up from the middle of the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the pavilion and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Amen. Those who died by the plague were 20. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the high priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I didn't consume the children of Israel and my jealousy. The same thing. See, Yahweh sees that as our brother Matthias, He was jealous. But in this one, he called it judgment. But in the, it was the same. That judgment is Yahweh jealousy. Because here with our brother Phineas, he called it jealousy. But with the brother Matthias, he called it judgment. We may say today, that zealous, that zeal, and willing to go and do whatever Yahweh want me to do, and to root up and to tear down anything that goes against him, we call it that today. So that's what happened. Yahweh proud of this brother. Yahweh called Moses to the side. Hey, come here. Let me tell you about this brother here, Phineas, what he did for me. And Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the priest, have turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that he didn't consume the children of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, say, behold, I give to him my covenant of shalom. I shall be to him and to his offspring after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his mighty one and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now, the name of the man of Israel that was slain, who was slain with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a father's house among the Simeonites. The name of the Midianite woman was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. In other words, we have to see, why is it important to name these two people? The brother then did what he asked them to do, but why was it important to name them and give their lineage, give their quote-unquote pedigree? What's so important about that? Why? Because it doesn't matter who it is. They step out of sight of Yahweh's word, Yahweh say, pull them up about it. He say, pull them up about it. I don't care who they are. So it wasn't that Yahweh wanted to just name them and give their pedigree. He wanted those who stand in the gap, those who do his will, don't care or don't have respect of any person. If they step outside of my will, pull them up. Amen. Be that mighty woman. Pull them up. Who their daughter is, who their father is, who position that they hold. Pull them up. You do what I ask you to do. Stand in the gap. You'll save their lives. Amen? Okay. We got one more spot to go, family. We're going to read about these government workers here. This history that these brothers working for the man. And we're going to close out with that one. These government workers that's working for the man. See how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, as no matter what job we're working on, how we conduct ourselves as Israel, as Yahweh's mighty, as Yahweh's mighty men, as Yahweh's mighty women. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and brought an accusation against the Yahudis. They answered Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man that hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever doesn't fall down and worship shall be cast into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Yahudis, Jews, whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, O king, have not respected you. They don't serve your God and don't worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. These men were brought before the king. But Nebuchadnezzar answered them, is it on purpose, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my God nor worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, whenever you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you don't worship, you shall be cast the same hour into the middle of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. So, we ain't going to sugarcoat what we got to say to you, brother. We ain't trying to sugarcoat it. We ain't trying to cut corners. We're going to tell you straight up and listen to what we tell you. If it happens, Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship your golden image which you have set up. Huh? That's powerful words right there. Yeah, that should be the belief of each and every Israelite, each and every believer. Come to things against Yahweh. And I'm stepping on my own toes as well. But we got to teach and say what Yahweh did was to say. Even if we step on our own toes, that should be each and every one of our own beliefs. The job when it comes to anything that goes against Yahweh. I was able to say, but hey, that's nothing to him. Hey, that's a small thing. But if it don't, we still will serve Yahweh. We still will walk in his law, statutes, and judgment. Because we know and understand it's a reason why he didn't. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride, and the form of his appearance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke in commandment that they should heat the furnace seven times more than that was usually heated. He commanded certain mighty men who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to certain cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Those men who bound their pants, their tunics and their mantles and their other clothes, and which cast them to the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the fire and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste. And he spoke and said to his counselors, did we cast three men bound into the middle of the fire? They answered the king, true, O king. And he answered, look, I see four men loose walking in the middle of the fire, and they are unarmed, unharmed. The appearance of the fourth is like the son of Elohim. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High Yah, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the middle of the fiery furnace. Amen. Stand on Yahweh's word that we will gain favor from other people. from those who hate you will turn around in Yahweh because you stood on his word. He will make them give you favor. He will give you honor in the sight of everybody else when we be obedient, when we be Yahweh's mighty men, Yahweh's mighty women. And for those who want to know what scriptures I was going through, it was Amos 7, chapter 1 Kings 13, chapter 13, verses 11 through 26. That's 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 11 through 26. 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 1 through 27. Numbers 25, verses 1 through 15, and Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 26, for those who want to know where we were, because when we started off in a different, we went a different route. We just were reading history. We were just seeing our forefathers and foremothers so far through these five installments of Yahweh's Mighty. We were looking at the experiences of our forefathers and foremothers, and we were learning from them. Yahweh was teaching us. He was, in essence, strengthening us to do his will. And when we come to hardships, that we'll be able to look back on and see how Yahweh brought our forefathers through, and we'll be able to apply that to our lives, the lessons, the experience. And we can go through so many of Yahweh's mighty men. And how are you going to go through Yahweh's mighty men and don't even mention Dawid? Don't mention David. You know, don't mention David's mighty men, because David was a mighty man. Don't mention King Saul. Don't mention Judah Maccabees and the things that Yahweh have shown through him. And we're only going to go the route Yahweh showed. But it's so many. Don't mention Shimshon, Samuel. You know, it's so many that we could have mentioned. We could have mentioned that Yahweh had. And we also could mention those of that Yahweh, Yahweh's mighty man, Yahweh's mighty one. Include yourselves in the story, the history of a people, Israel, your life experiences. Include yourself. Because we know the book is still being written. Others may not have that understanding. The book is still being written. Revelation is still being shown. And that is the end of this week's Blog Talk family. And prayerfully, everybody is loving the Shabbat right now, dealing in the Shabbat, because we are fully in it and got something to eat. Yes. I'm going to close this off so I can go get me something to eat. And briefly, Abba have filled you along the way and gave you spirit something to eat. And may let's just close with this closing blessing, family. Again, I just don't want to talk to me talking. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Torah Abiyah, thank you once again for being the light, being the God, for guiding us, for giving us your word, Father. May those who heard your word have a mighty meal. May they be full, Father. May they take in what you have given us. May they take in and apply it to their life experiences. May they be able to take their life experiences and see where you are guiding them, Father. You are being their conductor of their life, Father, so they can learn, Father, so they can share this world, share the impurities that we have within us. We ask and pray for all Yisrael, Father, that you bring them shalom. Yahushua, holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. Amen.
One day we'll wake up from this dream and we'll stop sleeping. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.